It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. I have returning with me today, Chris Gibson. And Chris has been on, three or four times at least. Okay. And our topic today is going to be skincare and healthcare for COVID-19. Because a lot of people are struggling right now having the mask on, you know, practically 24/7 in some cases. So we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. Let me just kind of reiterate what Chris is all about. He authored a book called Acne Free in 3 Days and was featured on Good Morning America, The Daily Buzz, and numerous other talk shows. And that was back in the... So he now has a hugely successful YouTube channel where he's advertising his skincare products today. And I think you're going to be starting another channel kind of simultaneously with that
It's called Life Reimagined. We're all having to do right now. So Life Reimagined, and it is going to be lifestyle cooking, really for people who are kind of reinventing themselves. So that's going to be the focus of that show.
Okay, and I would... think to myself that most of us are reinventing ourselves on a daily basis because life as we knew it is no more, and I don't think it'll ever go back to what we once had. Do you?
No, nothing ever does. It's always, but it will go to something better.
It will go to something better if we allow it to do that with our thoughts, you know, with our thinking.
So
I want to remind everybody that as we get ready to have this conversation, if at the end of the program you feel that this is something that friends, maybe neighbors, family members ought to hear about, then please go to synergyconnectionradio.com. And Chris's show will be the first one in the archive pages. It's liable to be number 10 page at that point. I know we're getting close to the bottom of number 9. And so, you know, please redirect them there. I think health and wellness is critically important right now. And Chris and I are going to touch on some of the things that are important for all of us to keep in mind as we move through the rest of 2020. Our health is our responsibility, and that means getting enough sleep, it means getting exercise, it means trying to get out of this fear-based thinking, because you got to remember that fear really stands for false evidence appearing real. And our social media, our television channels, everything else keep harping on being safe. And, you know, yes, we do need to be safe, but we need to take personal responsibility for that safety. And it involves more than just wearing a mask. So we're going to be talking about that in a couple minutes. And if you do go to that website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and you click on the Boomer link and you go in there, there's a number of absolutely amazing products that can help you keep physically well. And so that might be something to also consider. If you order any of those products, use my name, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code, and you will get $5 off of your order. Okay, so we're going to be looking now at skincare and healthcare for COVID-19. Yep. And what are people saying to you?
I'm getting a lot of questions about, the usual questions about, you know, how do I make sure that I'm as healthy as I can be, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and being alkaline and how viruses don't live in alkaline environments and why. But the big thing right now is that face masks have proven to be effective, and the fact that our country's not going to shut back down again, they won't do that. I don't even think if you had a place as an epicenter, they're going to close all businesses again. They're just not going to do that.
Well, it would be so horrible for everybody.
Yeah. So that being said, it really does go back to what you just said, which is personal responsibility, not being living out of fear, because that doesn't do any good at all. And typically people make worse decisions out of fear Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example of that. Say you've been hunkered down and you just can't get your face off CNN and you've just taken in all this information that's just makes you like freaked out. But you've got to go somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so all of your decision making now is being made from that fear base.
Mm-hmm.
So you're much more likely to get in a car accident. You're much more likely to go someplace that things are not the way they need to be because you're going from this place of being afraid of things or being near people. And you're going to get in a situation where you see people that don't have masks on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have it's not going to be a pleasant experience. So what you have to kind of talk yourself out of that and talk yourself into that, look, the virus isn't going to go anywhere. No one ever said it was. A lot of people told themselves that. If I lock myself up and I don't do this and I don't do that, we close our business, the virus will go away. That's not what was happening. But a lot of people told themselves that. And a lot of people in the media and in governments did not correct that thinking, even though they knew that that was what people were thinking. So now here we are with like the flu and several other things, that viruses that go around. It's not going to go away. So we have to wait on a vaccine. You have to talk yourself out of the fear and into the reality of there'll be a vaccine. I need to wear a face mask. I need to wash my hands. Maybe if I want to go to the store, I need to go when it's less crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's going to be an issue for me. Mm-hmm. I know that won't drive me nuts. And so sometimes the fear is worse than the disease, you know?
Well, so. And I think a lot of people, you and I know this, but I think an awful lot of people do not understand that when you have constant negativity in your thought pattern,
it attracts negativity.
It not only attracts it, but your cells, the cells in your body
are reacting to it.
So now your immune system is getting lowered.
Yeah.
And sure enough, when your immune system goes down, you're more likely to catch all kinds of things.
Right.
The other thing is that most people don't even understand what their immune level is. You know, they haven't taken a D3 test, so they don't have a foundation of understanding where their immunity is. And if their immunity is down around 35, that person is much more likely to come down with something than a person myself. I mean, my immune level is at 82. I'm not very likely to come down with anything. But I work at making sure that my immune level stays there. So there's that personal responsibility part.
Right. Exactly right. So the questions that I've been getting lately have had to do with the mask wearing, which is kind of where I was going with that before I got off track with myself. But the face mask is effective, and it's not going anywhere. And with them not shutting things down, it really is your best option for at least having some sort of normalcy, freedom of movement, and being able to go out to eat or go to a store or do whatever you need to do. It is your protection, not just for you, but for other people.
Uh-huh.
So it is going to stop the breath spread of the virus.
Uh-huh.
So with that comes the fact that we're putting something on our face tight. Yeah, it's not like a head covering or a scarf. It's tight, usually. That is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are getting issues with skin rashes and breakouts and all of that sort of thing.
Well, you've got all that humidity that's right there.
Yes, and your breath has bacteria in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same bacteria that lives on your skin. So if you are a person whose immune response to acne bacteria, for instance, is such that you get breakouts, you have more of that bacteria. So, of course, what we're seeing is the pictures with the people with the rash. And then if you use synthetic material mask, you may have skin allergies to that and get contact dermatitis from, say, latex and plastics and formaldehyde and all those things that go into materials that make them reusable, like the healthcare worker masks. They're reusable. The elastomeric mask that you see, that's not the ones they look like are a welder, but it's the actual mask that's underneath it that looks like cloth. They're actually kind of pretty. They look kind of like silk. They're blue and black, and you see those. Well, that's an elastomeric mask, and it has synthetic material in it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people in the healthcare industry have had some issues, which is primarily why I did this video, because a friend of mine's sister is an MD, famous MD, in the immunodeficiency HIV category, And she was getting a rash from the mask. So she went and looked at my YouTube channel, and when I found everything I needed to know except what to do for a mask, I said, you know, that probably is a topic I should talk on. So there are some things you can do. Obviously, you can change type of material for mask unless you're a healthcare worker, because you really do need that, the elastomeric mask. Because what that means, elastomeric means that it can be washed and reused, and it won't lose its ability to filter bacteria and viruses, because the virus spore is fairly large, actually. So the elastomeric, it doesn't allow that transference through the mask.
I have a question in that a lot of people use detergent that also can create problems.
I'm going to
talk
about that. Exactly right. So yeah, then you wash it, and you again, you don't wear your clothes on your face, so your skin is not used to those particular components. So a whole lot of things can go wrong for your skin if you don't think about it or you're not proactive about it. So the first thing to do is to if you're having the contact dermatitis, which is the itchy rash, it's not really acne, because acne is usually pustules, and there's a difference in the inflammation. You'll know it's contact dermatitis if you use a little cortisone cream on it and it goes away pretty quickly. That's what it is. So that means your material's bothering you. There's something in the mask that doesn't agree with your skin.
Or the detergent.
Or the detergent you're using. So you can change out the mask or go buy some, you know, Tide Free or one of those that doesn't have the sulfates is what the problem is. And the fragrance in there. Because the fragrance that goes in your clothing is allowed by the FDA. So it wouldn't be fragrance you would spray on yourself. Like you wouldn't go and buy, what's that...
Febreze.
Yeah, Febreze and spray your body with it. It's not body spray.
No.
Okay. So it's sort of the same thing. So changing out the mask to see, because there's a variety of those now, you can get them made in everything. Cotton, nylon, paper, whatever. You may be able to correct the issue that way. But for everybody, regardless, the first thing to do is when the mask is off for the day, the first thing you need to do is cleanse your skin. With a gentle cleanser. That's a, you know, I mentioned a couple in the video. Because your skin is sensitive, you need to be careful of what you choose to use. So the CeraVe has a hydrating cleanser that's very sulfate-free, doesn't foam, which is good for people with all skin types. If you have acne issues, then Aveeno Ultra Calming has one that has a foaming component to it to help, I love this word, it's in the video, ferret out the oil and dirt that's down in the pore without stripping your skin.
Okay.
So it does foam, but it's not sulfates that are creating the foam. So that works very, very well. And of course, I have my own Clearly Flawless face wash. I don't pitch that in the video because I don't usually pitch my stuff too much in my videos, but that's also a good one. That's, you know, will ferret out. It foams, but it's not going to be over drying. So that's what you want. Those face washes need to be glycerin-based, no alcohol, and fragrance-free.
Okay.
This is because your skin's irritated. You may be able to use other face washes all the time, but this is the preferable thing to do. You want to cleanse that skin immediately when you're done with the mask for the day. You don't want to walk around your house and then do it before bed. You don't want to forget not do it before bed and go to bed. You want to cleanse your face. And the reason for that is the mask, is what we talked about earlier, has trapped your breath, moisture, bacteria, dirt, and oil has built up. And if you're using a mask that you reuse, those same things are in the cloth of the mask now. So I'll get to that part in a minute about when to wash the mask. So you want to be
vitamin
cleanse
C
it.
Applications.
You can. It's the whole issue is, and the whole focus of this particular technique is that your skin's irritated. Now, if your skin's not irritated and you're wearing a mask, you should still do this, and you can follow your skincare routine normally. But what I'm talking about is if you're having issues. So you don't want to put on anything that's going to irritate your skin, and vitamin C could be irritating to contact dermatitis. It could burn. So your skin's inflamed. So our goal here is to press that down. So we want to cleanse the skin. Then we want to use a moisturizer that has either one of these or all. Ceramides, hyaluronic acid. What's the other one? I always forget. Well, there's three of them. It'll come to me in a minute. But anyway, you want to make sure that you use a hyaluronic acid moisturizer, oil-free. You don't want oil in the moisturizer.
So what does that actually do for the skin?
Well, the ceramides help. Oh, niacinamide. There it is. Okay. I don't know why I always forget niacinamide. That's my favorite skincare product. So let me back up here. So the things that are going to help in a moisturizer are niacinamide, ceramides, and I'll explain what these do, and hyaluronic acid.
Okay.
Hyaluronic acid sounds really rough and tumble and kind of, wow, that sounds strong. It's not. What it is it's sodium hydroxide, which is a molecule of salt, which can hold 1,000 times its weight moisture.
Hmm.
So it's a very good skincare ingredient. Plus, your skin understands it. It's
it
a naturally occurring
yeah, it
salt.
It recognizes
and you
it.
Produce it
right.
a little bit.
Right.
We produce that in our sweat.
So right, I was going to say, if you're outside, it's there.
So that's why sweat is kind of slippery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's kind of oily and slippery because mm-hmm. of hyaluronic acid. So the hyaluronic acid, which is really easy to find, Hydro Boost, Neutrogena, I love that product. The extra dry skin, oil-free. It's dimethicone, which is very protecting, and hyaluronic acid. You want to use that because it's going to moisturize the skin. And it's going to hold the good moisture in and kind of provide a barrier
mm-hmm.
to your breath moisture and the bacteria. The ceramides actually are really what's great. And you may have to get three different products here to get this because it's very rare to find all of them in one.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all very inexpensive. Like Neutrogena is $15. It'll last you 2 months. It's Cetaphil has a ceramide moisturizer that's very, very good. And the ceramides actually form a bond on the skin and protect it. So you've got your hyaluronic acid moisturizer, then you've got your ceramides,
mm-hmm.
which kind of build, kind of fill in the gaps between the cells to help protect them. And then those are also naturally occurring in skin. And then the next one is niacinamide. And niacinamide is vitamin B3 in a suspension. In other words, it's made into a serum. It's a derivative. And what niacinamide, which this stuff is amazing, it actually is able to calm the skin down, reduce the inflammation or the reaction to whatever's going on. It helps the skin heal itself, calm itself, soothe itself, and it too also helps provide a moisture barrier. So when you have all three, you've really got something great going on for your skin. You're going to see some results. So moisturizing is very, very important in this step. Now, if you are having the actual dermatitis, then what you want to do is use like a cortisone cream. Or ointment. Ointments are better when you have this because, and we get to that in a minute, before you go to bed, applying a healing ointment, which is like CeraVe has a healing ointment, same type of thing. You want to use a cortisone cream if it's dermatitis, itchy
mm-hmm.
reaction. You want to use the healing ointment if it is like acne, like you're getting breakouts.
Okay.
And you want to do that before you go to bed because at night, your skin's in its natural repair cycle. When we sleep, your skin is repairing itself. Wow, you look so good when you get up in the morning. Well, most of us think we look good. Now, if you wear makeup and then you see yourself without makeup, you may think you don't look good. But you generally, people look really good in the morning. Their skin is hydrated. It's had time to repair. So we do that at night to give the skin time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a healthcare worker and you're using those elastomeric masks, it's really helpful to take that healing ointment and put a very thin layer on your skin before you go to wear the mask that day, because what that will do is protect your skin.
It forms a little barrier.
It forms another barrier.
Yeah.
So that is how to handle that. Now, mask usage, you know, paper mask, disposable mask are meant to be well disposed. So wear it, it usually tells you 15-hour mask, 14-hour mask, 48-hour mask, better get rid of it, throw it away. And use a new one, easy. For the cloth masks that people are wearing, you need to wash those at least every couple of days, or what I recommend people is have more than one
mm-hmm.
and rotate them out, but make sure they're washed after a couple of days. You don't want to go more than 2 days because, again, oil, bacteria builds up in those, and you want to use a detergent, as you said, that is fragrance-free. Mm-hmm. Sulfate-free if possible, but more so fragrance-free is the big issue.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's the elastomeric, again, you know, those things, they know they reuse them. Most healthcare workers know they need to wash those. But that's really it with the face mask. I mean, and to make sure you're not got them on so tight
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're cutting off your circulation or really what we're trying to do is prevent the buildup of oil, dirt, bacteria, and getting it trapped in the pores and reducing the amount of friction of the cloth on the face.
Now, have you seen these that have those little, they look like space age dials?
Mm-hmm.
Is that like breathability?
What it's going to do is it allows you to bring in filtered air easier, but you're still breathing out and you still have that buildup of moisture. I mean, I wear glasses a lot, and when I wear it, it doesn't matter what the mask is, it fogs up my glasses, so there's moisture there.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is make sure that you're getting enough minerals in your diet. Selenium, zinc, very good for the skin. Eat a banana. Potassium, magnesium, all those things are very important to skin health, and vitamin C internally.
Right.
Up to the MDs that we work with, right now they're telling people that if you're north of the Mason-Dixon line, you need 2,000 IUs of vitamin D3 every day. And if you are in the south, you need one. So you need to, right now, because the virus, it does affect the efficacy of the virus, the ability for that virus to stick to your cells, the vitamin D is very, very helpful with that. So
Actually, one of the newer guidelines is 5,000 international units.
Yeah.
And I actually take
that. That's what we're taking. You know, men, it's a little bit less. And if you live in the south, it's a little bit less than up north. But it's clear this virus doesn't care if it's summer.
No, it doesn't.
It's not. The heat's not doing what it does to other viruses.
Yeah.
Which we were going to get into that, talk about how the virus actually works if you don't, if people don't know.
I think that would be good for people
to
understand.
Really, a virus is a particle.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ionized particle. They're everywhere. Particles are everywhere. And what it does, it's not really alive, but it's able, gets into a body, animal, human, or whatever, and it figures out how to replicate itself by pulling a lipid and protecting itself. And then it has these little spikes that you see very common now. You see these little
pictures of it.
Pictures of it. And they stick to it. They stick to another cell. And then it's able to transfer part of the particle to that cell. So it duplicates. Kind of like a virus in your computer. It just duplicates
it
everything.
It duplicates. And, you know, part of my visual field is it's a little bit alien-like.
It is very alien-like. And so what your body does is your body tries to, it produces the white blood cells that go through and try to catch these little buggers. It eats them and you get all the congestion and stuff. Now, in some people they get a, I don't know, I never to say the word right, but it's a storm from the immune system. It's an overreaction of the immune system, and that is what people are dying from. So it's not the virus took over their body and you know, it's their body's reaction to the virus that actually will kill you. So the thing there is, back to what you said, to make sure that your immune system is in good shape, that you're resting, you're drinking lots of water, all the things that we've heard all our lives, that you uptake that vitamin C, make sure you're getting vitamin C. The great thing about vitamin C is it's really hard to overdose on it. If you take too much, you'll know. Because you'll be in the bathroom. You'll know. Your tummy will be upset. So, but you need to be doing that. And then if you feel something coming on,
you can up it.
You can up it. And then you want to really change your diet. You want to really be as alkaline as possible. That's lemon squeezed in water or lime. That is eating lots of leafy greens. That is staying away from dairy products. That's staying away from meat.
Well, and they can also
fish. You want to switch your diet over to a more alkaline diet because no virus can survive in an alkaline diet.
That's true. Well, no, and cancer can't survive there.
So you want to up your alkalinity, and they're all. You can Google this. Dr. Wayne, the Mango Man, he's in Florida. He has a whole thing online about alkaline versus acid, which is really, really good and easy to understand. And I have videos on that too in the channel.
Well, and seven is the happy point.
Yeah,
you know, if you can stay at that pH.
You want to do that because it makes it very difficult for the virus to get going. So there's two things that happen, and I think this is where people get confused, is that you get the virus and you get sick, and you think it's the virus making you sick, and it's not. It's your immune system's reaction to the virus. So by being alkaline, you're keeping the virus from replicating as easily. So your viral load is down. It's what's known as the viral load. So you're hindering the viral load. At the same time, you're boosting your immune system ability to get those little white blood cells where they need to go. to collect that virus and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm. So, and how are people getting rid of it?
Well, I mean, you know,
elimination. Right, but.
Yeah, you have to. It has to be eliminated. But if you do those things, if you change the virus's environment, that's why people with a comprised immune system, circulatory problems, are having more issues,
right?
Because the immune system is not able to get ahead of that virus,
right?
And it's very quickly. This one's very quickly replicating, and they're finding that it depends. And you know, I don't like to buy into any of the theory stuff, so this is not fear. But they are learning that people with certain blood types tend to be affected more by the virus. Doesn't mean you won't catch it with another blood type, but type A is tend to have a little more issue with it than type O. So they're discovering a lot of different things about the virus, because it's the ability of the virus to stick to the next cell.
Mm-hmm.
And in certain people, those receptors are not there on their blood cells. And genetics, there are some people that, I know people that never get the flu.
Mm-hmm.
You could blow it in their face and it would never get, what's the itchy one? Poison ivy. Some people are allergic to that, right. And some people are absolutely not. You could rub them all over in it and they would have no reaction whatsoever.
Right.
So you know you as the person. The person knows, you know your health. You have an intuitiveness about where you are. If you are compromised, then don't go out. You know, don't go to places right now if there are a lot of cases going on. And then also realize, know the numbers. Because, you know, if you live in a county of 2 million people and it's 56 cases, you're probably not going to catch it if you go to the grocery store.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? But if you're at a place where 6% of the population is sick, you're a little more likely to run into that bug somewhere. But it doesn't mean I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then you want to wash your hands and do all the things that you're supposed to do. So.
Right.
But they had people bleaching their groceries. I mean, I'm
did
just
did you
like,
hear about the ones that were actually drinking? Like,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then the, what was it, 16 different girls that had gone on a night out at a local pub where they were. I think that was up in Jacksonville.
It was in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I talk about that in the video.
Yeah.
You know.
And every one of them got it.
Yeah. So you have to be, you know, you have to be aware, but you need to, like, dig deeper than what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now we live in Florida, and you know already the media is, oh, it's the next epicenter. Well, nobody, we were supposed to be an epicenter last time too.
Mm-hmm.
So cases are increasing because people are moving around, and the fact is they're not going to shut stuff down again. That's clear. So you have to protect yourself. Use the mask. I mean, the mask is the easy thing. It really is, and the places I've been, most of their employees are wearing them. So.
Right. You know, I mean, everyone at Publix wears them.
You know, so, you know, be aware. It's, you know, people in flu season, you don't walk around and, like, not be,
no.
You don't, like, wash your hands. You know people are sick around you, so you try to take precautions, but you can't live your life in fear either.
No, so. I think the fear can do more damage.
It does.
Again, to our emotional well-being and our physical well-being, because it does dampen the immune suppressant abilities of our body. So, I mean, if our immune system goes down, you're going to attract.
Right.
There's no way that you can avoid that.
Right, right. And then clean your house, clean your bathrooms, do the things that you would normally do anyway. So it's, like, not hard.
No, it really and truly isn't. I'm hopeful that we will not be spending the rest of our lives walking out in public with masks on.
No, I think,
but,
you know, they have to develop a vaccine. And that takes time.
Well, here's my concern about the vaccine, quite honestly, is this particular COVID-19 is already morphing. It's changing.
Yep.
And so by the time the vaccine is available, the next COVID whatever is going to be here.
Yeah, that's true of everything. It's just like the, a lot of people don't realize the flu that we have now is the 1918 flu. The flu that you catch today is the same flu, but over time it's weakened because more people have gotten it and survived from it, and it mutates, but when you get it again, it's not as bad, and that's where those flu vaccines come from. In some years, they're right on, and some years it's a miss.
Right.
Because it changes.
Right.
So, we don't shut down the world every year for the flu.
No.
You know, we take precautions, we get flu shots, we wash our hands.
So, what do you think made this one so pandemic. I mean, we've had flus around forever, but this one went international so quickly.
Because it was circulating long before we've got wind of it.
Hmm.
You know, they're finding more and more. Now we're
like
back
October.
To November and October
yeah.
of last year,
right.
and we thought it just started in February.
Right.
And it's new. So we don't have our immune systems have not seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new particle virus that came
from
an animal.
Do you believe that it was artificially manufactured?
No.
No.
No, no. I think that the ecosystem of the planet, it's a piece of that. And in every species, there are periods where diseases happen and it wipes out part of the species. The weaker immune, I mean, that's evolution. That's
it's like the plague back then.
Yeah, it's the evolution of things. Humans have managed to get ahead of the game a little bit with medicine and understanding how these things form. So more people live with more problems now than they used to. People
mm-hmm.
live longer with immune system issues. People
mm-hmm.
live longer with cardiovascular disease. People live longer
with
diabetes.
Yeah.
All of those things, but you're still... Your body's in a weak... Because we haven't gotten to the part where we can fix that
mm-hmm.
yet.
Right.
I think
and
that will happen, but we're not there. So a virus comes along and goes, oh, you know, it's no different than when you get, you know, root rot on your tomatoes.
Right.
If you've ever had a garden and you get some weird virus blows into your state from somewhere, I used to have the tomatoes all the time, and you, or roses... It's hard to eradicate that stuff because
mm-hmm.
until it just wipes everything out and you start over.
Right.
Well, that's kind of how things are designed on the planet. So I don't think it's a big conspiracy. I don't think there are people out there trying to wipe out them. What would be the reason for that? You know, it doesn't
no,
make
there
any
isn't.
Sense.
But there is a natural, I want to
yeah.
say, culling
yeah.
of things. And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Many people... did not even know that they were pre-diabetic, or they didn't know that they had high blood pressure and were moving down, because it's a silent killer. You know, there's a lot of
yeah.
different diagnoses that didn't surface until COVID did, and then all of a sudden this was a pre-existing condition.
Right.
But here's my problem with this whole thing worldwide is knowing that it was affecting a lot of people with pre-existing and existing conditions. I'm aware, and I think you probably are too, that if the person dies in the hospital or the nursing home and they had a pre-existing condition, but COVID came in and was also diagnosed, they're getting stamped as the cause of death was COVID-19.
Right.
That to me isn't really fair, because that might have been what pushed them over the edge, but the pre-existing condition
right.
and the weakened exactly. immune system...
Well, that's why I say you need to understand the numbers.
Yeah.
And so when you see states, and I'm not going to get into politics because I don't agree with all the decisions that get made about how fast we open and all that stuff
mm-hmm.
either,
mm-hmm.
but when you look beyond that stuff at the real numbers that people are looking at to make decisions, then their decision-making process makes a little more sense.
Mm-hmm.
No one said if we reopen things, more people aren't going to get sick.
Right.
In fact, they went to great lengths to warn everybody you're going to see increases.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have to manage those increases based on what we see because we don't know.
Right.
So this thing about bullying people about, oh, they opened, that's all just BS and it needs to be left out of the conversation. The reality is that life has to move forward. If people don't go to work, you won't have electricity or food. So where do you draw the line? And that's hard, even as a politician, and I don't like politicians on either side of the thing, but I get it. So what people are trying to do now is manage the reality of what it is.
Right.
As it occurs.
So what are some things that you see personally that allow people to at least manage this situation? I mean, because people are returning to work.
Yeah, very simple. And it's been proven in countries. If you can get everybody to wear a mask most of the time when they're around other people, you don't have to wear it at home. You have to wear it in your car. You have to wear it walking down the street, because that, to me, is overkill. It's people wearing them in the car. I'm like, why?
Did you see they opened, movie theaters now? They're beginning
yeah.
to do that.
Well, wear one in the movie theater.
Actually, they said that once, and like you can sit with your family, okay?
Right.
Otherwise, there's going to be two seats between each person.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
they're going to do that.
50%
but they said, yeah, but once you're seated, especially if you're eating popcorn,
yeah,
you can take your mask
exactly.
off.
Exactly. But it's been proven in the countries that have done this religiously, made mask a part of it. It's mm-hmm. not forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, to keep, once you stop it from moving around, it doesn't get, it's never going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you relax, it's just like the flu every year, it's mm-hmm. going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to go away until we get some sort of, something.
And I don't think the vaccine is the answer.
No,
and
it's part of the answer, but what has to happen is, it has, enough people have to get it that it mutates to a point where we survive past it.
Exactly.
So the way viruses work. I mean, that's the way they work. So the original stopping of everything was so that the hospitals didn't get overwhelmed, was to try to save lives that way. Was it a good decision? Bad? Who knows? I don't know. History will look back and decide. But it's the kind of the thing in the economy, though, that should bounce back quickly. As people get back to
mm-hmm.
life, because, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it is what it is. But it's... there's going to be another virus.
There absolutely
you
is.
You know, there'll be another one on top of this one. So every time there's a virus, what do we do? So, you know, science is working on it. And they'll unlock the secrets
mm-hmm.
to these viruses. And they'll come
and
up with
something. And we have it. You know, the nice thing about this, if there is a nice silver lining here, is that we have international people working
on it. Yeah,
it's so it's not
it's
just
a human thing.
It's
not a country thing,
yeah.
which has been very beneficial in ways that we shouldn't know how to do it this way, but you know, it's a human problem. It's
mm-hmm.
not a Chinese problem or an
Italian
American
problem
or an American
yeah.
problem or a Canadian.
No.
It's
no.
everywhere. Latin America is having a big trouble with it right now. So, you know, it's here. It's not going to go away. So, I mean, you're going to, people have to wrap. I think the first way to get rid of the fear is to wrap your head around that piece.
Right.
Viruses don't go away.
Right.
They mutate.
Right.
They change.
Right.
We get to where we can survive past them, obviously, but they don't go away.
Well, so. And then I guess, you know, having said that, I think that's the piece that people really do have to grab onto
yeah.
is that staying sheltered for the rest of your life is not the answer. Your life won't be a life.
Yeah.
And so you've got to figure out how to, again, go back to sleeping, exercising, eating properly, you know, maybe taking nutritional supplements because the soil isn't what it used to be.
Yeah.
But you've got meditation.
Alkaline acid balance
yeah.
in your body, which is the same thing you do for colds
mm-hmm.
and everything else. I rarely get, you know, I know for myself when I, and I don't do it too often anymore, but when I've gone on these, when I was on TV and traveling, I did it a lot more then. But when you're eating a lot of foods that are high in fat and sugar, processed,
mm-hmm.
nitrates in particular, if you see nitrates in food, that's will really make you acid fast.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of foods have nitrates?
Oh, sausages,
yeah.
meats, processed foods. It's
yeah.
nitrates is order to preserve them.
Right.
Doesn't mean you can't have that stuff, but you know it should be sparingly. This is a health show. It's a health-like show, so we would talk about that. And making sure that you are, you know, eating the things that create alkalinity in the body, which is going to be your leafy greens and your legumes, things like that. I mean, there's a whole host of stuff that you can eat that will help that.
And
drinking lemon and lime water.
Yeah.
Well,
and people can Google, you know, what are alkaline foods if
you're
not sure.
You can have meat.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just red meat tends to be very, again, nitrates,
mm-hmm,
very
mm-hmm.
acid forming. It's funny because we go, well, lemon, that's an acid. Well, the whole thing about pH is all of it's acid.
Mm-hmm.
Low pH is an acid. High pH is, it's all acid. It's just the level of the acid and the effect of the acid. It's just like a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you add something, a type of acid to raise the pH. And sometimes you have to add baking soda or something to alkaline down
mm-hmm.
the pH.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, one of the things that's funny on the cooking shows, this just came into my head. I've been watching a lot of America's Test Kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And I find it funny that they are more often than not in the recipes that have ground beef or any kind of meat, adding baking soda to the meat when they cook it, because it makes the meat hold the moisture. So the baking soda is actually taking the acidity out of the meat.
Interesting.
And you don't
very
taste it.
Yeah.
You know, we made bolognese this
yeah.
weekend, this
uh-huh.
last weekend, and decided to try that. I don't eat a lot of red meat. Usually it's turkey or chicken or fish. But bolognese is bolognese. And I'm like, you know, I want to try the recipe. So we did, and we did the baking soda. You couldn't tell the flavor, but the meat was much more tender and moist.
And juicy, huh?
And juicy.
Yeah.
And beefy flavor. It preserves that flavor.
So how much of the baking soda did you put in?
It's like a teaspoon. It's very little.
Oh, interesting.
You just mix it in a little water, and you put it in the ground beef, and it... I knew that about beans. Like, if you have problems with beans and things like that, putting a little bit of baking soda in them while you're cooking them will take that out.
You mean people that end that up have, with a lot
yeah,
of gas?
Yes, a lot of know, gas from beans. Yeah. That's
and the
helpful.
Same thing, a teaspoon?
Yeah, it's very little.
Interesting.
Very, very little. Well, think about when you have heartburn, how baking soda will put the fire out.
Exactly.
It will put the fire out.
Huh.
They don't like you. The medical community doesn't like you to take baking soda as an alkalizer anymore. They want you to take Tums and all that stuff with calcium chlorides in it rather than sodium chlorides.
Do you know that people
chlorides.
That take the little purple pill, which is Prozac, I
yes,
think?
My mother took that.
Okay. You
Bone
Once
issues,
you
right?
take that, you can never get off of it.
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult because your body has all of a sudden said, oh, I don't have to work to digest anymore. And getting back to that digestive
I'll
process.
I'll stick to my finger in the baking soda on the tip of my tongue.
You bet.
That's usually all I need. If I have any kind of heartburn, it's just the tiniest amount. I think about my mother taking BC powders back in the day.
What
Remember
were
those?
BC?
That was the aspirin and baking soda mix that came in the little paper.
No.
And people took the little paper. It was, you took it for a headache or
a
hangover.
No.
And you tapped it and all that powder went on their tongue. They did not taste good. People who are really old know what I'm talking about. But my mother took those. She had BC powders religiously.
Really?
And it was aspirin and baking soda is what it basically was. Just then there of course came plop plop fizz fizz Alka-Seltzer, which
Alka-Seltzer,
was basically
right.
the same thing, aspirin, so aspirin and baking soda,
huh?
And cream of tartar made the tablets.
Cream of tartar,
yeah, that's how you made the tablets.
I didn't know that either. You're a wealth of information today.
Yeah, useless.
Trivia.
Useless, because no one does that anymore. But yeah, I have lots of useless information.
I don't know. You might be a really good person to have on hand for a trivia pursuit contest.
Yeah, there you go. What was Alka-Seltzer made out of? So yeah, I know, actually, I know. And then they put ephedra in it.
And what's
not ephedrine, ephedra, mm-hmm. which was the herbal component. Now we have ephedrine, which is the synthetic version of that. And that's why when you took Alka-Seltzer cold medicine, even with the flu, you felt like you could just like hang flags from the ceiling. Like you were just like, woo, because it gives you a lot of energy. Mahong is the name of that herb. Well, they outlawed that because people were taking too much of it.
Do you remember the
pills, Fin-Fin and
yes, I do
Stackers
remember that,
and all that?
That
was ephedra.
Oh, and they,
and I
and
can
they
get,
didn't pull that.
What it did was it sped up your metabolism.
Uh-huh.
And it decreased your appetite at the same time.
Sure, so you lost weight.
Uh-huh. You could go, and you'd never be hungry. Well, per usual, that herb, by the way, millennia in China been used without it hurting anybody. But, you know, you got these people that have got to take too much of it and do crazy things that they're going to blame on it. And I won't get your show knocked off the air, but anytime something works well, there's always this wonder. If there's any conspiracy at all in me, it's like, why is it when something works really, really well, suddenly it's banned?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating. That's a food for thought.
And
I won't answer that question because I don't know what the answer is. But to me, it just seems like whenever there's something that really, really works well for people, suddenly it's outlawed.
Mm.
Very strange. Draw your own conclusions. Very strange.
There are a lot of very powerful organizations that help to create our laws.
But I will add this
P.S.
postmark to this comment, to this thing I just said. You can still get ephedrine, which is artificially made. Mm-hmm. You just have to sign for it. So you can get Sudafed that will make you feel great when you take it, but it's synthetic ephedrine that's added, and the reason you have to sign for it, again, people abused it and made meth out of it.
Oh, okay.
Anyway. But, so, it's not that you can't get the stuff, but it's not for weight loss mm-hmm. anymore. It's not, you know, you can't mm-hmm. get it for that. But people take it for that reason. They take Sudafed to lose weight because it's the same stuff. It makes you energetic. I don't recommend that because it's a synthetic drug. And
we don't know what
I don't care what you do. It's not natural.
Yeah.
But, they use it everywhere else in the world without any problem because, uh-huh. you know, people aren't trying to, like, sell you something else. Right. There we go. That's it. Draw your own conclusions.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, shamans, witch doctors, witches. You know,
yeah.
I
Chaparral.
Mean, they, right. They've pot, all known for many Native Americans. There are
a Native American family. Uh-huh. I was adopted. We talked about that, I think, in one of the shows. But my Native American family... just didn't get why there was a problem with people smoking pot because relatives have been smoking chaparral and sage and probably cannabis way, way back.
Yeah.
But they didn't smoke it all the time. It was for, they use it in rituals, in ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
The witch doctors or the health doctors or the shamans or whatever, they would do that in order to get out of their own way
mm-hmm.
and receive the information from their guides.
Right.
That's what they felt worked.
Right.
So it put them in a kind of la-la-la dream state so that they could, you know, and they would ask them, what do we do about this? And you know what? You go back into Native American culture and the stuff worked. So whether it was the person laying there with the problem believed it and it worked, which is a lot of science to back that up, or it was that the person got information,
mm-hmm.
you know, Edgar Casey, he went to sleep.
Right.
You know, Abraham Hicks, that's channeled through Esther Hicks. So, you know, it's an altered state, no matter what you call it.
Right.
So I don't
know. And we do that when we sleep. Our dreams provide us with information a lot of times.
Well, I can tell you, smoke of any kind is not great for your lungs, but I'd rather smoke cannabis. I don't smoke anything, but I would rather smoke that than a cigarette.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's all those chemicals in cigarettes. Sorry, guys that smoke, but really, go get your own tobacco and roll your own cigarettes because... you're way better off
mm-hmm.
than that stuff that's in the manufactured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my grand, I lost a lot of family members to smoking chemically based cigarettes.
Right.
Because that's what I say. But people say, oh, smoking killed them. It's no, chemically based cigarettes killed them. Because there are a lot of people in my family that dipped. I had a great grandmother who lived to be 106 who did chew her whole life. So I'm not saying any of the stuff is healthy. You do anything too much, it's not healthy. But it's those chemically based cigarettes, the papers and the waxes and all that stuff. No. And so the people that passed away in my family from smoked those.
Mm-hmm. The people
that didn't. The people that didn't may have still used tobacco, but they didn't die from anything. So draw your own conclusions. Again, it's like, wow.
Right.
So.
Well, and like even your grandmother that dipped, she probably ate pretty healthy.
She did.
And she did
well,
a lot
food
of exercise.
Was healthier. They grew their own food.
Right. So she exercised.
They
a
raised
lot.
Their own animals. My family in Texas was very rural. and my grandfather, my great grandfather actually worked for. Exxon was Humble Oil. So they lived in villages. The oil workers lived in villages. He was I guess you'd call him like a supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen all the pictures and heard all the stories, but they grew their own gardens. So they had these little houses. You in some small towns in Texas and in the Midwest, in Kansas, all that, there's still a few of those areas left where it's the little white houses.
Mm-hmm.
All together. Well, they had victory gardens, you know, after World War II, but they grew their own food. Mm-hmm. They'd use giant community gardens. I'd love to see that come back. That'd be so much fun.
There are some areas
so
that are actually
fun.
Talking about it.
So much fun.
Turning
to grow
your
stuff.
Yard into a garden as opposed to something you have to cut.
Yeah, it's just so much fun to go pick your own food. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I had the place in Pennsylvania, the worst part about Pennsylvania is the long winters.
Mm-hmm.
Long winters. The best thing about Pennsylvania were the tomatoes. Not the best thing, but one of the best things was that in the summer, because of the climate,
mm-hmm.
you know, 80s, dry air, sunny, best tomatoes I ever ate. Anywhere, anywhere.
And
fruit,
better
apples, all the apples, pears, blueberries,
uh-huh.
tomatoes. So I had all that stuff on my place when I had the ranch up there. I had my own orchard, which was a pain in the butt because, you know, I tried to do it without chemicals. And I fought the wildlife and I fought the bugs and the Japanese beetles. I looked like I was going to war out there, you know, with this and the groundhogs.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of funny, but there was nothing truly better than harvesting that stuff and then having people over. And they're like, this food is crazy. What is that? I said, oh, it's squash. We grew squash and these are tomatoes. You know, we take the tomatoes. They'd still be warm from the sun. We'd slice them up. I know you all want to hear about this. And you put them out on the table. And then you go to the grocery store. And Florida has good produce. For the most part, we do. Because most of it's locally grown here because it gets shipped out of here. So we get spoiled here with it. But, you know, I lived in Texas for a long time and nothing grows there.
The soil is...
except cotton. It's so hot and so dry and so flat and so windy. You just don't... The hill country has apples, some of the best apples, but you just... So I grew things. You had to dig a hole in the ground and amend the soil because it's clay. It's like rock. And then it's just hot. So when I moved up north, I was amazed at the fruit and stuff. I mean, I was just, this is amazing to me. That, you know, you can pick fruit and it'll stay in your garage all winter long and not rot.
Yeah.
Because that's what fruit does. Your potatoes in the garage, onions, and then don't rot. Then Florida, it's so humid, things just try to grow in the air. It's the only place I've ever seen an onion sit on a table and sprout without... any soil or anything.
That's so true.
Stuff here
and grows.
It's bizarre. It really makes you wonder what's in the air. That plants can grow without soil.
Uh-huh. It's very true.
There are plants here that grow, that hang from trees, those stag ferns and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
No soil.
Right.
Their roots take the moisture out of the air. So really kind of crazy. So, but the point I want to make about the fresh fruit, I mean, it is... your diet's so important.
Mm-hmm.
For the alkaline diet. And not just that, but the enjoyment of the food is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because your cells tell you what they want.
Yeah, absolutely, they
do. Oh, if you're craving, I tell people, I crave a Snicker bar. Go eat a Snicker bar. Oh, that's sugar. Like, if you're craving it, you're craving it for a reason. Don't go eat a whole package of them. Don't buy 30 and put them in your freezer and eat one a day. Just go have the Snicker bar and you're going to feel better.
It might be the nuts.
It could be the chocolate. It could be, maybe you need sugar.
Mm. Could be.
Your body will tell you what you need. If you're craving something, I always say you should eat it.
I have to tell you this funny story you're talking about. I had a big, big garden when I lived in St. Louis because the
That's
soil...
That's another place.
Oh,
the
my gosh. Yeah, and it was the bottom land.
Yeah.
You know, so... But one of the things that I grew was broccoli. And broccoli from the garden doesn't taste like broccoli from the store.
It's not bitter like it is from the store.
No, it was very sweet. So I cut some, took it inside, washed it real carefully, put it in a pot on the stove because I was going to eat it shortly thereafter. And got distracted, came back and looked. And I had all of these little green caterpillars that had floated to the top. You know, because the water was warm.
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because I didn't see one single caterpillar when I put it in the pot. Not one. And so they had wrapped themselves intricately, I guess.
Yeah,
it was just crazy. And then somebody told me, they said, well, that's extra protein. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not into that kind of protein.
So now after that, you soaked your broccoli in the sink, right?
Make sure
all the critters are out of there or you cut it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just, you know, when you grow anything that goes with the territory that you're going to have, you're going to have that sort of thing. But I grew apples. They probably were one of my favorite things I grew up. They're green. Pie apples.
Oh, like
pie cherries.
Kind of
and pie cherries. I had a pie cherry tree.
Yeah.
And that's not the sweet cherries you get in the store. These
no,
are bitter, not, bitter, yeah. bitter, bitter, bitter. But boy, when they're in a pie, with the sugar and the blueberries and blackberries, all that stuff was really good. But you know, you fought the animals for that stuff.
Sure. A lot of people back many years ago, because my mom used to do this, would tie little strips of fabric in the trees that would blow. And that kept the birds from pecking.
Yeah. The birds were more about the blueberries, but I gotta tell you a real funny story about that. It's just critters of every kind. So you do one thing to get rid of them, but you do something to dissuade a certain critter leaves it open to a different critter.
True.
So you're always chasing your tail with that stuff because, you know, you put up a fence to keep the rabbits out. Well, the groundhogs climb the fence and they get stuck in the garden and wipe it out because they can't leave. You know, you put the netting on the blueberry bushes, right, to keep the birds out. But then the black snakes, which are, they're not poisonous, but they're pretty, they're not aggressive, but they're smart. They figure out how to get in through the netting and then get stuck in there. And you have to wait for them to die or try to cut them out. Who wants to go mess with a snake that's not happy? So you just, you are constantly chasing yourself. And then the deer, which are cows.
Right.
Up north. So yeah, but you know, it was still, having the fresh vegetables was really good.
I was in an area of Florida that's north of here called Micanopy. And they have a lot of farms up there.
You know, that's where it gets kind of hilly.
Yeah.
And
they have huge, kind of like electrified fences to keep the deer from jumping.
And deer here are little. They're not even big.
I know. So.
Yeah, deer will wipe out stuff. Yeah, it's funny. That whole area of Florida is very fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're getting off topic here. Nobody really cares. But most people think of Florida as beaches and flat. And it is. For the most part. But there's a part of Florida that starts about mid, it's north of Orlando, it's in the very middle of the state. Between there and Georgia, it's rolling hills. It's
beautiful.
Doesn't look anything like Florida. It doesn't know palm trees, it's all pine trees and horse ranches and farms.
Ocala.
It doesn't look anything like it. If you took a picture of that and said, hey, you know, wishing you well from Florida, people would go, what the hell? That was like Kentucky.
I know.
No, it's not. It's hot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they get snow up there. They get frosts up there. It's just
pretty.
Completely different.
Yeah, it's a very pretty area.
So.
All right. Well, we're going to be pulling this kind of to a close. So I think we've covered, you know, that diet is incredibly important. Sleep is important. Maybe for people that are highly anxious, maybe practicing a little meditation to calm down their fear and anxiety, using proper detergent, cleaning the mask, using skincare products that are going to help with alkalinity. What else do you want to, you know, kind of recap?
Well, you know, all of those things, and then something else came to mind that I did a video on that I haven't talked about, just really short, is the hand sanitizer, which dries your hands up.
Yep, sure does.
To be sure. And try to remember to moisturize your hands after you use the hand sanitizer. So you need the hand sanitizer, and then you need the hand moisturizer so that you replace the moisture you just took out.
Otherwise, your hands, your nails,
People are still... That's a video I did early on, because people were making their own. I said how to make it and how to take care of your hands if their skin's just like hanging off.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, alcohol is a real tough go for their hands.
Yeah, it is.
So... So yeah, they haven't come out with them yet, but there is a type of alcohol, acetyl alcohol, that is a fatty alcohol that's in a lot of skincare products that would work, but I haven't seen them come out with hand sanitizers made with that. Probably because it's expensive, but it wouldn't dry your hands out. It would do the same thing without, it's like food alcohols.
Right.
It would do the same thing to any kind of virus, but it wouldn't dry your skin out. But they haven't, no one's come up with that yet. I'm sure someone will. But in the meantime, just a good moisturizer.
Right, especially at bedtime. Again.
Yeah. O'Keefe's, excellent. To get a little, and then for like $5, you can get a little pump of that. And the reason O'Keefe's is so good is it has some botanical oils in there that are good for your skin on your hands, and it has ceramides. So the ceramides go back in and sort of replace the lipids that have been stripped out by the hand sanitizer. So that's a good, it fits this whole thing.
Right, well, good to know. All right, Chris. Well, thank you again. If they want to find your YouTube channel,
Chris Gibson Live is all you got to type in, and then the skincare is Clear Revolution Skincare, which is my skincare line.
And I'll have the link to that on the website. So if you go to SynergyConnectionRadio.com, again, Chris's show is going to be at the top of the archive page. If you've decided to try any of the Boomer products, remember to use Lucy, L-U-C-Y, in the promo code. And Chris will be back probably in about 3 months.
Probably in the fall.
Yep.
And, which is really the same thing as summer in Florida. So.
Yes. I mean, I when I moved down here, I never knew what time of the year it was.
Oh, that's hard. Yeah.
So, all right, everybody. It's been a pleasure. Chris, thanks for coming again. And please go out there and make it your very best life. Thanks. See you next Saturday. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.